We thank you, Lord, for your grace by which we can enter your presence. We thank you for your word by which we can hear your voice, and we pray that we might hear and receive all you have to say this morning and act on it, Lord. Stir our wills to follow you and to speak in your name. Amen. Please sit down. That second Bible reading, the one from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, reminds us that Christians should expect to suffer like Christ. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, is what Paul writes to the church in Corinth, so also our consolation is abundant through Christ. Sufferings are not expected to be something strange for Christians, meaning innocent sufferings, the sort of sufferings which Job experienced. Sufferings and trouble which came upon him not because of his own fault or his own deserving, like Jesus Christ's sufferings, which he did not deserve. It's part of the normal life for a Christian. And so we ought to be interested in the book of Job, because we see in it Job trying to come to terms with the experience of such suffering. And we've reached the section, chapters 22 through to about 26, 27. Got a question for you. How easily do you take offense? If somebody offends us, we don't have to take offense. We can choose not to. And the book of Proverbs tells us that's a wise option. Even if others are offending us on purpose, just don't take offense. Now, this isn't easy, but it's quite freeing. How easily do you take offense? I ask because it seems to me that the third of the friends, Zophar, the one we haven't really listened to yet in our little series through Job, was rather too easily offended, and that's where we're going to take up today. In chapter 20 of Job, in the church Bibles, it's there on page 515, 515. And it's part of the previous section, the second speeches of the comforters. Zophar is the last of the comforters to have a go. And he takes up, after that inspiring speech that we looked at last time, which included the words of Job, "For I know that my Redeemer lives." So, chapter 20, then Zophar, the Naamathite, answered, "Pay attention. My thoughts urge me to answer because of the agitation within me. I hear censure which insults me, and a spirit beyond my understanding answers me." Now, maybe we ought to start by having some sympathy for Zophar here, because Job has just said, if you look at the verses before, Job has just said that Job is confident that he will be vindicated at the last by his Redeemer, and that his accusers ought to be afraid of the judgment coming their way. So, Zophar, being rather easily offended, thinks, "He means me, the rotter. I think that's a personal insult. I won't let him get away with that." And so off he goes in his last speech, which is a lengthy spiel about who does need to worry about the judgment of God. Now, the bigger problem here, as we look at these comforters doing their so-called comforting, is that the main purpose of this conversation between the three friends who'd come to see Job and Job is to comfort Job in his intense distress. But Zophar taking offense just adds to Job's distress. It's taking offense doesn't help other people. It doesn't build friendships. It destroys them. It doesn't help us if we take offense, because so often if we are easily offended, we retreat into self-pity, self-justification, and so often loneliness. And probably most relevant in these chapters, as these conversations come to an end, taking offense so often stops us learning the lessons we need to learn. And I contend that at least Job is learning a lesson. And as we go into this last section, let me say that Eliphaz doesn't seem to be learning a lesson. In chapter 22, his last speech, well, it just seems to be the same stuff that he's saying as the second speech he made in chapter 15, which was nearly exactly the same stuff as he said in his first speech in chapter 4. Just, he's a little bit less polite as he goes on. Eliphaz isn't learning lessons. He just repeats the same thing over and over, a bit louder each time. Is that us? Bildad isn't learning lessons. Can you see he's the one who speaks in chapter 25? That's his last speech. And he just runs out of steam. Can you see how short that chapter is? And in that short speech, he doesn't even attempt to answer Job's previous point. The idea of conversation has fallen foul. He just briefly restates two points he's made before that he must have been rather pleased with, and leaves with a flourish, which maybe implies Job to be a maggot and a worm. Has Bildad learned any lessons? I don't think so. He's just returning to what he thinks were his more impressive thoughts. Is that us? And then Zophar the Naamathite, previously mentioned, the one who takes offense rather too easily. Thankfully, he doesn't do a third speech, which is probably his wisest move. Because when a conversation has gone on too long, stop. Don't carry on. It's all been said at least once. And it's ground to a halt. So stop. Limit the damage and stop. Now, Job doesn't stop because he, poor chap, is still working things through. He was coming to terms with his earlier setbacks, and now he's got another layer to add to that. Now he has to come to terms with what his miserable comforters have said as well. So Job carries on, chapter 27 and following, which we'll look at next week. But before we finish today, please notice that even though his comforters were not learning lessons, we have clear signs in these chapters that Job is learning. Not that Job is coping brilliantly with all of this, but hopefully we'd expect that. In chapters 23, 24, 26, he is sometimes a bit sarcastic, sometimes sounds a little bitter. He's struggling, but he is honest still. He is determined and faithful still. and he is the one who's learning lessons. So let's have a look, finally, at chapter 23 in the section that was read to us earlier. We're on page 519. And I hope that you can see in this section that first and foremost, Job has learnt that his suffering is like a time of testing, and that that may be a valuable thing. Can you see in verses 8, 9, 10? If I go forward, he is not there, or backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. And that's Job saying he feels like God's just not with him. But, verse 10, he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come out like gold. He's learning lessons. He's learning that this is a time of testing. And he's not out of the other end yet, which explains so much of his difficulty. But he's learning that this is a good way to see it. Suffering on this earth is like a test. And testing is not all bad. It helps us. It helps us see what's real and what isn't. That's what testing does, isn't it? If you're talking, I shall come out like gold, then you heat up gold to test it, to see how pure it is. And the impurities can be taken away so that you end up with pure gold. It's part of the testing, which means that you end up with something even more valuable. It's a good way to see suffering on this earth. Helps us to see what's real and what isn't. And, well, I don't know about you, tests aren't so bad, are they? I used to quite enjoy tests at junior school. They showed me what I knew and what I didn't. They helped me cope with failure, learnt some valuable lessons, and they motivated me to sort myself out, which I was very grateful for when I was in the last year at school. And I failed two of my three A-level mock exams. Failed them. And it's quite helpful that I failed them, because I knew that unless I got myself seriously sorted, I would be working at the local pizza factory instead of going to university, which is where I hoped to go. Testing feels bad. But it has a purpose for good. Testing from God's hand makes us feel all sorts of trouble. But it is part of the Lord's good purpose in this life. And such testing doesn't seem fair. It isn't fair. The wicked so often seem to get away with it. But maybe Job is learning too that this life is not about it being fair now. Job is learning these lessons, which will encourage him to continue being faithful, to know the value of keeping his conscience clear, to continue pouring out his heart, asking the painful questions, and persevering in the Lord's ways. And that's how he goes on by verse 10 and following. But God knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come out like gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I've not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured in my bosom the words of his mouth. Job is learning. If this is a test, it's worth it. However far away God feels, it's part of God's way for my life on this earth until this chapter is completed. So it's worth it. However faint my heart becomes, he says, however afraid, however much I want to hide, that's how he goes on. What God desires, that he does, for he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. Therefore, I am terrified at his presence. When I consider, I am in dread of him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. If only I could vanish in darkness, and thick darkness would cover my face. Job is learning. He's commended by God at the end of the book in chapter 42. That was a spoiler, but quite an important one when we consider these chapters and we see that Job was commended by God. The three comforters weren't. Because Job is learning the hard lessons which we learn in times of testing. Times which feel bad when we're in the middle of them, but have a purpose to work for good. Are you with Job? Next week, it's his final plea. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the book of Job. Please enable us to learn the good lessons you give us. Amen.